BlakeRadio.com.
My name is Damian Sandow, and I am here to help all of you. As your intellectual savior, I can no longer stand idly by and watch as you, the unwashed masses, plunge further into the bowels of your own inadequacies and shortcomings.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
No, no, no! This is supposed to be about me! This was supposed to be the greatest night of my life! And not only will I be the champion, but I will be the face of the WWE!
Featuring Sir Rockin.
Let me tell you something, you self-righteous little puke. I am an A-plus player. I always have been, and I always will be.
And Lindsay Ward.
I have shattered glass ceilings. I have broken down doors. I have done more in 1 year than all of you have done in your entire collective careers.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Raw Post Show, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented by PW Mania and Wrestling Figure Wednesday. Go to youtube.com/mbg1211 for all the action figure videos you can handle, including the latest one featuring the man in this song, Bray Wyatt.
Yeah. Just rub it in that he has one.
Matt Goldberg has a Bray Wyatt figure, and Lindsay does not at this point.
Jealous. So jealous.
We are here to talk about Monday Night Raw. I'm Rock. She's Lindsay, as everyone is aware by now. And Monday Night Raw opened with John Cena inside a steel cage. And John Cena just asked the question, why? Why? Over and over again. Cena said he's mad about the WWF vote last week when the audience voted to put him in a 3-on-1 match. And then we got a nice "you suck" chant. The audience gave him no choice, no chance against all three members of the Alliance. And he asked why. Cena went back to almost 10 years ago in this very building when he was drafted to Monday Night Raw, one of the more memorable moments in Raw history. Cena said it was one of the loudest ovations of his entire career, but he guesses things have sort of changed. Cena continued that, you know, everything has changed, and continues that he's had some good nights, some bad nights here and there, but he's never abandoned the fans and always put the WWE and the WWE Universe first. So he asked why the crowd has chosen to back Bray Wyatt. He said he knows there's going to be come a time when he has to step aside. He gets it. He said he's very excited for that time because he sees greatness in the likes of Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Cesaro, and even the WWE Champion Daniel Bryan. And even guys we don't even know about from NXT like Adrian Neville and Sami Zayn. He said they have the same passion and heart that he does for WWE and you. Cena said he wants everyone to warn everyone about Bray Wyatt. He said he's captivating and motivating. Cena says Bray's passion is not WWE, it's about Bray Wyatt. So why? Why is he standing here in this steel cage? Because on Sunday, any member of the Wyatts who show up will be kept out, while Bray's message will be kept in. Cena says if Bray is allowed to continue on his path, he will continue to manipulate. Pretty strong stuff from John Cena.
Strong stuff, but kind of delusional.
How so?
I get the metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot physically keep the message of Bray Wyatt in a cage. I understand what the cage represents to Cena. I understand what they're trying to make the cage represent. But the cage itself is not going to stop Bray Wyatt's message. You know, especially when he's utilizing other tools to get his message out, i.e. social media.
Right.
In addition to television. So it's something of, at this point, Bray Wyatt's message is out. And it's spreading like wildfire.
And John Cena is hoping to basically contain it as best as he can.
Well, the only way to really contain Wyatt's message is to take out Wyatt. And that's really kind of what the focus... I get that, you know, John is trying to stop Bray Wyatt's message. I understand that, but it really should be John should be trying to stop Bray Wyatt.
Exactly.
And in that, in turn, will stop his message.
Exactly. But then, John Cena had more to say.
You guys don't understand. A guy like Bray Wyatt, it won't be long before it's Bray Wyatt versus the world. And at that point, the world's not going to have a chance. See?
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the little bitty baby in his hands.
What?
He's got the whole scene, Nathan.
in his pants. He's got the big bad monster in his pants. He's got the big bad monster in his pants. He's got the whole.
Oh my God. Everybody just go home. Bray Wyatt wins wrestling. He has a choir of children with sheet masks.
Can't you hear the John?
And go.
I think the oh my god, he has an army of children in sheet masks kind of covers it, but I said it on Tumblr, I said it on Twitter, I'll say it here. Bray Wyatt sitting there, because what you can't see as he's sitting there laughing maniacally at John Cena is he has one of the choir children sitting on his knee with the sheet mask on and Bray's just holding on to him as he's laughing. That is one of the single greatest visuals in wrestling I think I've ever seen. This segment was incredible. Because it's like, holy crap, Bray Wyatt's got a choir of kids behind him, which is representative of basically Cena's fan base.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is you listen to the crowd in this. Mm-hmm. Because they start singing with the kids. And then they slowly start to turn. They start to chant no. And then they start to cheer for Cena.
Yup.
Which is really kind of cool to hear. And I think a lot of them just really didn't know what to do, because it's like, I think a lot of them were like us, where it's like, holy crap.
What the hell just happened?
This was a fantastic way to open the show. I hope to God that sold some pay-per-views for those of you that are on Comcast. For those of you that are on Direct-to-Dish, well...
Get the WWE Network.
Yeah, get the network. Because, yeah, this was nice. This was really nice, especially with the visual of Cena in the cage looking terrified, followed by he just didn't know what to do. He didn't know how to even react to this, with the choir around the cage in the sheet mask and the Wyatt family on the ramp. Like, Cena was surrounded in a cage. He was trapped. And suddenly the thing that's supposed to keep the Wyatt family out is keeping Cena trapped. It's keeping Cena in.
Yep, and I told Lindsay this. Goosebumps when the choir started to sing. Goosebumps.
Yeah. I was like, when the girl started to sing, I'm like, Bray on helium? And then it's like, oh no, he has a choir. He has a children's choir. That's it. He wins. He wins everything. Just everybody shut up and go home.
Shut up and go home. Bray Wyatt has stolen the show at 8:15 p.m. Eastern Time.
Yeah. And, yeah, this was just... I can't sing this segment's praises enough. I had to rewatch it again when it came on the replay. I don't even know what happened in the last part of the show. I'm going to have to watch that real quick. Sorry, y'all. But because it came on again, and I had to see it again, because it's just something of... You did not see this segment. Go back and watch it. Find it. Watch it. Because it was an incredible piece of television.
Yeah, the visual part of it is on WWE.com right now.
And what was great was the announcers really didn't speak.
Mm-hmm. We should know there was the Ladue School District in St. Louis that one of their high schools provided that was the choir for this. And they tweeted Bray Wyatt earlier today. That was kind of awesome.
I want to see him with the kids.
There may be pictures probably going to surface at some point.
I hope so. I would have loved to have seen Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family with the kids. That kind of would have been awesome.
Kind of would have been. So we transition from there into our opening contest of the evening. For the tag team titles, the Usos defending against Ryback. Solid matchup between the two teams.
I was recovering.
You were recovering? According to Kane Kiddens, the Wyatt family would be the worst babysitters ever. Well, you're probably right.
No. You know, Luke catches rabbits for the kids to entertain, and then, you know, they have rabbit stew later. It's fine.
But you're gonna let the kids watch them slaughter the rabbits? That's cruel.
Luke makes sure they don't see the rabbit get slaughtered.
But the kids would make friends with the rabbits. How dare
you? Know, that's why you have more than one. So if one goes missing for dinner, well, you don't worry about it.
But the kids always worry about it.
He got away.
Hashtag rabbit killer. The nice finish in the match. The perfect plex was on one of the Usos. The other Uso came from the top rope with the big splash, allowing the Usos to retain the tag team titles. We then got a hype video for the Adam Rose Exotic Express, and it's on the road. And guess what, Lindsay? The party arrives next week.
Woohoo!
Get ready, Rosebuds. The Adam Rose Experience is coming to Monday Night Raw next week. We're backstage with Cesaro and Paula Heyman. They're talking in their locker room. Heyman said Rob Van Dam really got underneath his skin by dumping on him last week. He said the Undertaker was the last man to get under his skin, and look what happened to him.
Can we stop talking about the thing?
He didn't mention the thing.
He mentioned the thing!
He didn't mention the thing. He sort of did, but didn't actually say the words about the thing.
Can we stop talking about it? Can we stop making mentions of it, please?
But RVD was right that he is a liar and unethical, but he takes his clients to the top. Cesaro said that's all he needs to hear. We then, somewhere in the back, got a weird camera pan to the office of Stephanie McMahon, where Kane's mask is back inside the box.
So does this mean he goes back to Corporate Kane?
That would mean he's going back to Corporate Kane, because the mask is back in the box. The demon has been locked back up. Our next contest of the evening, Sheamus versus Titus O'Neil on Sheamus' way to the ring. Titus jumped him from behind. Sheamus got beat down for a little bit before the match officially started. Sheamus was brought back into the ring. Referee asked him if he wants to go. He wants to go. And finally, Sheamus finally gets away from Titus and hits the bro kick and gets the 1-2-3.
Solid match.
As I just watched the finish happen on right now. So, Sheamus picks up the victory. We then had a Kofi Kingston tutorial on how you can get the WWE Network. It's ordable online, just like Netflix, if you didn't know that. Oh, brother. Then we had our next moment of the night. Dolph Ziggler came down to the ring. And he talked about how the weather is getting better. The bikinis get smaller. And superheroes return to the big screen. And we got a preview for the X-Men movie that comes out soon. I believe this weekend.
Yeah, I think so.
And then Hugh Jackman came down and, you know, was sucking up to St. Louis. He says, great to be back on Raw. and said this is exciting for him. Then the hype of the fans, the actions, and the star, he says anything can happen in WWE. And then Ziggler said, it's funny you mention that, because the last time he was here, woo-woo, something happened to him. And that something happened to be a right hand right to the jaw of Dolph Ziggler.
Oh, Dolph.
But the two men made amends, finally. They squashed their beef, which is good to hear. Ziggler and Hugh Jackman are now once again on the same page. Good stuff to hear.
Yay!
And then... oh, and then... there are no words that can describe this.
What in the world is this?
I am Magneto.
Magneto?
Serious, bro.
Master of magnetism. And I am pleased to announce that for the first time, the greatest mastermind in cinema is being portrayed by somebody who is actually intelligent.
I think a superhero can close that fit.
I have come here tonight so that you, the inferior insects of the WWE Universe, can see me in all my greatness.
Insects?
From Asteroid M?
Be quiet, I'm not finished! And I look and see all of you trembling at the sight of me. But then I look in the ring and see a blonde half-wit not trembling because of me, but trembling because he is starstruck. I mean, Dolph, you look ridiculous. Stop shaking.
He looks really good. You tripped on your cape when you said that, by the way.
This is not a joke. Now... Wolverine. You're some kind of a mutant? Is that what you're supposed to be? Dolph, I'm not sure what that makes you, but you're out here acting your hair color as per usual.
Super rad?
Silence! So tonight... the two of you will meet the same fate.
What fate?
What does that mean?
I don't know. I don't speak jive. I don't know what that...
Yeah.
Oh, no.
They told
me don't tell me what to do!
Did you make your costume, Magneto? Did you make it? Awesome costume, man. Seriously, just...
No, it's not. It's terrible. Looks like a super doofus.
Zipper. Love it, man. Can I touch a cape? Am I allowed to touch it, the cape?
Don't wow, tug Magneto's that, cape.
Ooh, zipper, a whole zip. It's awesome.
Perfect. You done?
Yeah, man, no, I'm good. Just admiring your work, buddy. Admiring it.
You're finished.
I'm done. I'm done.
So we're not going to hear any more from Wolverine.
No, man, I'm good.
You're exactly right. Behold the power of magnetism. You will not say another word.
No, Dolph. It's okay, man. It's okay. Seriously. I have faced the real Magneto. All right? This guy does not measure up.
Silence!
Oh, okay.
Behold the power of magnetism!
Something's happening.
What?
The keys in my pockets just moved. Oh, no. It really works. It really works.
I don't know what's going on, man. I can't control it.
Oh, no.
No, it's not.
All right, it was cheesy as hell, but it was funny.
I will say this. Sandow owned it. He just owned it.
If you're going to do it, you get into it. And he was into it.
He did a great job of selling that. Even though I hate kind of seeing him used this way, it was really entertaining.
The costume, oh lord.
Oh, the costume was special. It was something straight out of the cartoon. It was hilarious.
They did a good job with it. Well done. I was actually impressed that they actually pulled it off and the crowd was into it. So, it worked. Go see X-Men in the theaters coming soon.
By the way, Sandow, don't you be talking smack about Ian McKellen. He has Patrick Stewart as backup.
In the ring, as we come back from break, Jack Swagger was introduced with his subculter. Paul Heyman then came out on stage and said the audience is buying too much into his advocate manager persona. He says he's really a jovial, funny guy. Even his kids think so. Yes, his kids actually think Paul Heyman is a funny guy. Because of this fact, Paul Heyman's going to do something he's never, ever done before on Raw. He's going to tell a joke. Like, really? Heyman's going to tell a joke? And not just a joke. He told a knock-knock joke. I was like, what? He took him... Told a knock-knock joke, and it goes, knock-knock, who's there? Mike. Mike who? Mike Lyon, Brock Lesnar, something.
Again with a thing.
It's clear Paul Heyman read WWE memes before Monday Night Raw.
Yes.
Because the meme was out there, like, an hour before Monday Night Raw.
Oh, he's been sending all kinds of stuff out, and to two people's credits, they're getting really creative. Somebody put it on Nostradamus' Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
Edited it into Nostradamus' Wikipedia page. I mean, people are just getting clever with it.
They are. They're getting very clever with it. So, good stuff. Which led to Cesaro versus Swagger. It was short. At one point, Heyman grabbed Zeb's beard, allowed Cesaro to hit a German suplex with a bridge for the victory.
Come on, let's call a real feud what it is. It's Heyman versus Zeb. I think we all want Heyman versus Zeb at Extreme Rules.
We may get it at some point.
Because, you know, Heyman pulled Zeb's mustache. You just don't do that.
Yeah, you don't tug on Superman's cape, and you don't tug on Zeb Coulter's beard. So Cesaro wins. So it looks like we're getting closer to, I don't know, more Cesaro versus Swagger? Who knows? Or at least, as Lindsay said, Zeb versus Heyman. We get a recap of the Wyatt choir earlier in the evening, and then Renee Young tried to catch up with John Cena, but he just had nothing to say.
Bray's getting to him.
He is. Our next contest is Cody Rhodes versus Del Rio, and I should mention before this, the mask was still inside the box. This match was fine. Del Rio wins with the cross arm breaker.
We have more tension teased between the brothers.
Yeah, Cody, Goldust was trying to cheer on Cody, but Cody was not happy after the match, losing again. It's a losing streak for the Rhodes family. So they gotta get some wins, and maybe all will be right with the world.
Let's hope so.
Backstage, Paul Heyman and Cesaro were talking. He was advising his client, according to Michael Cole. Xavier Woods took on Rusev. R-Truth came in and interfered. Then they double-teamed Rusev, and they finally took him to the outside. And looks like they could have his number at Extreme Rules. I didn't really say that convincingly, did I?
No, I'm waiting to be impressed by Rusev. I want Rusev to impress me. And so far, he's just not doing anything for me. And it's kind of like you're waiting for him to do something because they keep hyping him up and everything. And it's just like, you know, any day, dude, any day. And so far, it's just not happening. And it's kind of like, okay, so when is he going to do something?
Right. Hopefully something after Extreme Rules.
Here's to hoping.
Backstage, we had Renee Young talking to Rob Van Dam. He talked about, you know, how he'll have some bad news for Wade Barrett tonight. Zeb Coulter then walked up to RVD and noted they have a common enemy in Paul Heyman. Zeb said that they cannot stand Heyman. He suggests they work together to get rid of Heyman. RVD thought it over, but said he has a mind of his own, so no thanks. He said he will continue being RVD. Zeb was not happy about this.
No, he wasn't. He really wanted RVD.
But RVD is not joining the real Americans at this point.
Nope.
It was announced on the pre-show. It's a WLC match between El Torito and Hornswoggle. Yes, WLC.
Silence, that's all I got for that. It's just silence. Are you kidding me?
I'm kind of curious to find out what a WLC match is.
Apparently it's when two midgets fight with stepladders.
I'm okay with this.
I don't know how I feel about it yet. It's just like, this could be really entertaining, or this could be crap. I don't know which.
We'll find out on the pre-show on the WWE Network.
Yes, King Kittens, a WLC.
Yeah. Los Matadores took on 3MB, and in a surprise, 3MB won.
It's the end of the world. Run!
it really, really is when they win. Then we had the Torito and Hornswoggle fight a little bit. Hornswoggle must have splashed. Torito was able to hit his flip onto Slater on the outside. So, yeah. Los Matadores get up their hand heading into the pay-per-view, or the pre-show, rather. Then, in out comes Stephanie McMahon. Stephanie called last week's events a senseless tragedy. She said the demon is unstoppable and she would like to make it up to Brian. Stephanie was very concerned, and then she wants to say to Daniel Bryan's face that she's sorry, so she calls out Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan, in a neck brace, with his wife Brie Bella, came to the ring, or to the entrance ramp, I should say. Bryan and they were standing there as a yes chance, and Daniel Bryan chance filled the arena. Bryan said he almost believes Stephanie stopped telling Kane to stop. Almost, except everyone knows that Stephanie McMahon is, well, full of crap. Stephanie was dejected and was, you know, she was being misunderstood. Stephanie said she's earned that, but she needs Bryan to understand that Triple H and her never wanted Bryan to, well, be World Heavyweight Champion. They went to great lengths to stop Bryan, and things got a little out of control. Bryan cut her off and said, asked Stephanie how she thinks his wife felt with her emotions going wild, as Stephanie encouraged Hunter to drown him, you know, to beat him over and over again. Steph says she understands that they went over the board and Brian proved them wrong. She said all she wanted was a credible opponent for Brian in the form of a backbone cane. Stephanie says she's ridden in an ambulance with her husband and she knows how Bray must feel. So she would like to apologize for what happened, and the crowd was chanting no. Brian then said he thinks the audience agrees with him that Stephanie is still full of crap. Stephanie said she doesn't know how else to prove it. Maybe if he came down to the ring, she could tell him to his face. Brian said that's interesting. What is he going to see in her eyes? He's still going to see a liar. And he knows that at the snap of her fingers, Kane will come out here and attack. Brian said his head hurts bad, he can't move his neck, but he's never ever given up, and he's been cleared for Extreme Rules on Sunday. He said Stephanie thinks Kane will take him out, but he promises that he will take Kane down, and if Kane tries to do it, he will take Kane to hell with him. Stephanie said that the truth is she doesn't know where Kane is, but she does know that Kane's mask has been locked up in the office all day. So while Brian can't wrestle tonight, Brie can. And we know that Tamina will get a shot at the Divas Championship at Extreme Rules. But who will be Divas Champion? Paige or Brie? So right here, right now, it will be Brie Bella versus Paige for the Divas Championship. And Brian was going to be at ringside. Because Steph said that's fine if he wants to come down to ringside. But she hopes Brie is ready for the match because it's happening now. So let's digest that. Stephanie McMahon is awesome.
Oh, Steph was fabulous in this. She was great. I mean, she's hit her stride. She's been doing really well pretty much since Rumble, probably before that. She's playing her part to a T, and you can't not love to hate her.
Exactly. She's playing her role very, very well.
And yeah, this was great. And of course, you're sitting there, and you know what's coming. It's like you can smell it. It's a trap, you know, for someone. And it's like, okay, it's a Divas match. So you know what's going through my head is, it's like, huh? Are they gonna have Kane screw with Brie?
As we went to break, the mask was gone.
Mask was gone, so somebody got a hold of the mask. Uh-oh.
So we get Paige and Brie. The match went a couple minutes. It was fine. Until, as Lindsay mentioned, the demon has arrived. Kane's music hit. Brie is frozen in fear. Paige was able to get out of the ring, though. Quickly. But Brie was frozen in fear. Everyone is looking for Kane. Daniel Bryan.
Okay, wait. Before you continue, Paige has a brain. Go on.
This is a good point. Daniel Bryan's looking all around. I felt bad for him trying to turn his neck, trying to look for Kane. It was kind of awkward. But
they're trying to sell, and, you know.
He's trying. He's turning his whole entire body to try to find Kane. Kane wasn't coming through the ramp. Should know that from last week. And he didn't come through the crowd. He came from underneath the ring.
He's stealing a play from Big Brother's playbook.
Yes, he is. So Kane came through the hole and was trying to drag Brie to hell. Daniel Bryan, well, was not having any of this as Brie was trying to escape. Daniel Bryan, well, put a wrench into the plans of Kane by hitting him in the head with a wrench. Clever, I say, clever. Then Daniel Bryan is telling Brie to get out of there, Brie to get out of there, Brie to run. Get out, Brie. And then Daniel Bryan takes a chokeslam. But Brie's still in the ring.
Yeah, why do you not run?
I don't know. So Kane grabs Brie and drags her by the leg, trying to drag her through the hole, and she finally kicks him off and then finally is able to run out of the ring. Finally escapes from the demon himself, Kane. I like this stuff. I thought it was really well done.
oh, I love this kind of stuff. This is what I've been waiting for Bree to be involved in something with Daniel, and I almost wish Kane had gotten a hold of her.
Right.
I almost wish he had gotten her under the ring, just because I've seen him drag people to hell. Mm-hmm. He was being real gentle with her. Because normally he just yanks people. And he was like, you could tell in the first time he was just kind of stalling, waiting for Brian to get the wrench. Like, you could tell that's what he was doing, because he was really just kind of half pulling her.
Mm-hmm.
And just barely holding on to her. And the second time he had a little bit more force behind it, but he was still just, he's being very, very gentle with her. He was purposely not trying to hurt her, which I can imagine. But yeah, this was great. This was very well done. You have Kane playing mind games with Daniel Bryan. He knows right where to hit Bryan. So we'll have to see if Brie is involved any further on SmackDown, or if that was it.
They're making Daniel Bryan is scheduled for SmackDown. They are making Kane out to look like a monster.
Yes. Although, I will say this, I have one issue with it.
Okay.
And Sam brought this up earlier on Tumblr, and I have to agree with her, where they're basically making it seem like Kane needs his mask to be a monster. He doesn't. But I understand why they're trying to reassociate the mask with the monster personality. So you have maskless Kane as corporate Kane, and then Kane with the mask is the monster. I get why they're trying to do that. They're trying to split the two personalities. But just, you know, for me, it's like we've seen Kane as a monster without the mask, and we've seen Kane not as a monster with the mask. I mean, the last time he had the mask on was Team Hell No.
He, without the mask, he took jumper cables and a battery to Shane McMahon's nuts.
Yeah.
Just pointing that one out.
So Kane doesn't need any help in the monster department in general, but yeah. So I get why they're trying to do it, but...
But then again, that was Kane with the towel, you know.
I hate that towel.
Back in the trainer's room, Brie and Brian are there. Brian's being checked on. Steph McMahon comes in all upset. She's shaking up over what Kane did. Steph asked the doctor if Brian's going to be okay. And even clear to Russell, Brian said, you know, he will compete. He will be there. And then Stephanie will regret that she's dragging his wife into this. Steph says she's sorry. And then Brie said, get out, you bitch. Well done, Brie. Well done.
I want Stephanie versus Brie. I want it.
It's got to happen. I like that Brie's involved. I like that she's been involved since he's become champion. It's good. Really good.
I also like how she sold it. Like, she was literally standing there visibly shaking.
Mm-hmm.
Visibly scared after that had happened.
Right.
Renee, go ahead. That was a nice sell by her.
It was. Renee Young was finally got a word with John Cena. He apologized for not having comments earlier, but he's ready to talk. It's because of Bray Wyatt. He lost his mind, even doubting the audience support for him. But then Cena said they were having fun out there earlier, that they vowed to have special plans for Bray at the pay-per-view on the Sunday, which involves him buying a big donkey that he can lead to the ring, have some fun, sing, and then give Bray a fist in the face and a boot in his ass. Cena, that it's just all fun and games, not to be taken too seriously, but, you know, John Cena is ready for a fight, even though he brought up a donkey. Why do you bring up in a donkey?
Because Bray's name is the sound a donkey makes.
You're good, Cena. You were good, and then you went to a donkey. But again, it shows that whenever John Cena's in trouble, he falls back on the jokes.
Yeah, you can see that he was visibly shaken before. He didn't know how to take it, and now he's centered himself. He's gone to the privacy of his dressing room. You can almost say that the mask went back on for John Cena.
I see what you did there.
And so This was a nice segment by John Cena. You know, clearly, as you said, he falls back on the humor, which is what he does when he doesn't really know how to defend himself, is he makes jokes to hide the fact that he doesn't know what to do. He's tap dancing right now, ladies and gentlemen, because he's unsure what his next move is. Because Bray Wyatt's playing some heavy mind games, and it's very clear Bray is getting to Cena. We saw Cena paranoid at the beginning of the show. And he's like, you know, it doesn't matter that, you know, they were with Bray Wyatt, because there was still energy out there. It was still all good.
Right.
It's like, no, dude. That's not good if they're going with Bray Wyatt. You know it. I know it. Bray knows it. Everybody knows it.
And and come Sunday, everyone will find out.
I'm curious to see if they carry this over to SmackDown and see if anything happens on SmackDown. I really am very curious because I'm waiting for Cena to get a little bit of an upper hand on Bray again.
We shall see. I've got some bad news in the form of Wade Barrett. He said I have some bad news for RVD. It's so gonna, you know, the WWE slogan is then, now, and forever, and RVD is just then, because that was the last time RVD was, and it was relevant. He said he was wearing diapers the last time RVD won the IC title and remained that way because of BNB. And then Michael Cole said, Wade wore diapers as a teenager? Nice dick, Cole. Nice dick. But this was the finals of the Intercontinental Tournament. RVD versus BNB. Good match.
Very good match. Very solid match. I like how somebody made the meme of Barrett up on his little podium thing, and it was something to the effect of, I've got bad news, RVD. You'll never be as high as I am right now.
Good. That's a good one. That's a really good one. We had Cesaro come out at ringside. A little bit of a distraction, allowing Barrett to pick up the win after RVD missed the frog splash. And then Barrett hit the bullhammer elbow for the victory. Swagger and Cesaro got into it a little bit as well. So it looks like, and RVD as well hit a frog splash on Cesaro after the match. Looks like we have a three-way coming at the pay-per-view between RVD, Cesaro, and Swagger.
I'm telling you, Heyman versus Zeb, it's coming.
It is sort of coming, and I asked the question on Twitter and then Tumblr, where's Fonzie? You got Zeb, Heyman, RVD needs a manager, needs the whistle, where's Fonzie? But it'll be Wade Barrett and Big E for the IC title on Sunday. That should be good.
That should be very good. Although, I'm kind of a little bit disappointed that we haven't gotten more between Barrett and Big E.
They did a little bit on a main event that I would assume was coming on SmackDown.
I would hope so, but I would have liked to have seen a little bit more between those two.
We have the Shield cutting a promo backstage, proving their excellence every single night. Rollins said if Evolution has the guts to face off with them, they will find out what the true power is. Roman Reigns then talked about Randy Orton's the past. He said he is the present and the future. Rollins, Reigns, and Ambrose put their fists together and with the new symbol of excellence. Solid little promo by the Shield.
It's called Let's Find the Smallest Hallway Possible and Cut a Promo in It.
Pretty much.
But this was a great, great promo. Solid work by all three guys.
It was announced that on SmackDown, the U.S. title will be on the line. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you can all stop bitching, moaning, and complaining. The United States Championship will be on the line when Dean Ambrose defends against Ryback, Curtis Axel, and Alberto Del Rio in a 3-on-1 handicap match. So there you go. He is now three contenders in one night.
Yay!
Out came Evolution. Triple H and Batista were in suits when Randy Orton was ready for his match against Roman Reigns. Hunter sarcastically said, Shield took out 11 men on Friday. He's not mad about it. He says they remind him of someone. Oh, yeah, them. Orton said the Shield thinks they're the new evolution, but there's one problem. And then Batista said there will never be another evolution because they're still here. Hunter said he brought Shield into this world and he'll take them out on Sunday. Out came the Shield. We're ready for the showdown. Roman Reigns versus Randy Orton, and then out came the Nature Boy. Woo!
I completely forgot he was there.
I was waiting because we were told he was going to be on the show, and then he finally showed up and looked like he came out of Adam Rose's bus.
He probably did.
Flair talked about dominance. He talked about how, you know, he sees greatness in this ring. People who exude power, style, and grace. He said, what he's talking about now is the Shield. Evolution was like, wait, what? So he shook hands with the Shield and left. The best part about Flair coming out was Triple H mocking Ric Flair with his little mini strut and doing the hair thing.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Although I will say this, Dean Ambrose, you are not allowed to befriend Ric Flair. We will never see you again if that happens.
Right, and I should say this, the Canadian said that Ric Flair would endorse the Shield on Russell Talk Radio last night. No reaction. Perfect. Roman Reigns, Randy Orton had a match. Really wasn't much of a match. They were just trying to feel each other out a little bit. Then the brawl broke out between Batista, Hunter, and Ambrose, and Rollins on the outside. Roman hit a Superman punch and then went out and helped out in the brawl. Evolution finally took over. They laid out all three men. Then they dragged them back into the ring. Hunter was going for a pedigree, but Seth Rollins came out of nowhere, hit a springboard splash to breathe light back into everybody. The Shield cleared the heat. It was out of the ring. And then Triple H ate a spear from Roman Reigns. Batista and pulled, got out of the pride distraction, like Hunter get out of the ring before he got hit with a triple powerbomb. And that's where we end it right there. Shield standing tall in the ring as Evolution backed off.
So you have the Shield looking strong, which is awesome.
Yeah, good stuff.
I mean, this was a nice little segment, nice little way to continue the feud, continue the build. Rick endorsing the Shield wasn't entirely necessary, but it was still good.
I guess I'm not sold on them endorsing the Shield yet. I'm just waiting for the swerve.
Oh yeah, I'm waiting for the swerve too. But it's something I was like, it's like okay, why not? But overall, they had their big segments. You could tell. It's like they opened really strong, then you had a Stephanie segment, which was very strong, and then you closed strong. And then there was actually quite a lot of wrestling in between.
Right.
So you had your three main pivotal segments, which is obviously your three big matches on the card that you want to push, and then a lot of wrestling. So that was good. It was nice to actually have a break between those three segments, especially since two of the three were really ultra-heavy, especially the Bray one. Because the Bray one, you had to sit there and actually digest what had just happened for about 5-10 minutes.
Yeah, and they gave you a nice match to digest what happened.
Yeah. So, but overall, good show, very entertaining, a nice go-home. I hope they sold some pay-per-views with it.
Here's hoping that they did. But that's Monday Night Raw in a nutshell for this week. Which means we're done. We're getting out of here. But before we fully get out of here, Thursday night, we are back live at 11 p.m. Eastern for the Racklins.
That's right. We're going to be talking all about this, the exciting TNA pay-per-view Sacrifice. We're also going to be covering Impact NXT. We've got our Extreme Rules preview and pick'em news, notes, discussions, question of the night, tweet of the week, so much more. It's The Rack, Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
You can visit Rack Radio Show, RackRadioShow.com. Hear The Rack Extra Total Divas Season 2 Episode 5 review now on that website and WildTalkRadio.com. Stay tuned Friday afternoon for Episode 6 review. Saturday night, midnight-ish, it is the weird, the wacky, the unusual. It is CB Radio with myself, Rob Parks, Subway, and the part-time player himself, Big Daddy Ace. We'll cover all the news you can handle. We'll go over Extreme Rules and TNA Sacrifice there as well. See how good the boys did on their pick'em.
Hi, Subway.
I know Ace was bragging that he got one of the finishes correct, but did he get everything else correct? We will find out on CB Radio. Follow the show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR and Facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbandanas. Sunday night it is WTR, Sunday night with Tim Stein, Mason Omega, as they will recap everything that goes down at Extreme Rules. Follow that show on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night and Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. We will be back next Monday night for another edition of the Raw Post Show live across the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio. Follow the Rack on Twitter at WTR_Rack. Facebook.com/WTR The Rack and Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Check out GoNHLGo.com. Sign up for the forums because Tim Stein wants you to. Your turn.
Oh, you can follow me on Twitter at Lins Ward, LANSWRAD. You can go to my website, psychboarddesigns.com. Check that out. Under the Contact Us section of my website, if you click the link, it will take you directly to my Redbubble store. Or it'll give you my email. Either way. But there is a link to my Redbubble store there under the Contact Us section. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to buy my artwork, it is available for sale at Redbubble.com. Check it out because it's awesome. T-shirts, posters, pretty much anything you can imagine there for sale. If you just want to view my artwork, it is available at Behance.net/LinsWard. Same as Twitter. And it is all available there for your viewing pleasure. And also visit RackRadioShow.com, listen to The Rack, Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, here on WildTalkRadio.com, and that's all I got.
Thanks to PW Mania, Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. I'm Rock, she's Lindsay. We're out of here. See you Thursday for The Rack, and right back here on Monday night for the Raw Post at 11:30 p.m. Eastern on WildTalkRadio.com.
Come.